stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40. Couple of tight ends. Receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30. To the 20. Inside the 10. Touchdown.
First down and 10. Johnson gets a shoulder square. Watch out. He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown.
Welcome in to episode 32 of Grinding the Edge here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa, and you can also find me on Discord at KoopaTroopa8. If you have not gone to the South Harmon website, you need to go do that. Go to southharmonff.com and check out the articles that are on there and also the tools that we have. You can sign up for the tools for $6.90 a month and get access to the Warp Tool and the League Simulator. Both of those are very important this time of year. The simulator helps you figure out how is your team faring compared to the other teams in your league, and the Warp Tool can help you identify some of those players that are exceeding expectations this year. Once again, go to southharmonff.com and check out the articles and the tools that are there. This week, I want to get a jump on playoffs. Playoffs for fantasy aren't starting for another month. But some of your leagues might have a trade deadline coming up in the next couple weeks. Oftentimes, your trade deadlines are week 12 or week 11. And that means that you're going to only have maybe two or three more weeks to make trades. So as a result, I want to look ahead to the playoffs and list you some teams to target for various positions. This is going to be different for quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end. But the idea is to get you some players that are not the top guys at the position. I'm not talking about your AJ Browns. I'm not talking about your Justin Jeffersons, your Jamar Chases. You already know you're going to start those guys. I'm talking about those wide receiver twos or wide receiver threes or those running back twos who might end up becoming those league winners because they have a nice playoff matchup that you can target now relatively cheaply. So without further ado, let's get into it. The first team that I want to point out is having the best quarterback schedule for the playoffs is actually the Dallas Cowboys. Now, this causes some problems because Dak Prescott just went down with injury. And so now we're looking at Cooper Rush. However, if Cooper Rush ends up being the quarterback for Dallas the rest of the season, or at least the rest of the fantasy season, because right now we're looking at Dak Prescott, his injury is worse than expected, he is going to go on injured reserve, and the question is really whether he can even come back before the end of the season. If Dak Prescott does not come back, Cooper Rush is somebody who could be very interesting. He could be an extremely cheap option to fill in a quarterback two spot, especially if you have best ball leagues. I targeted Cooper Rush really heavily on waivers this week in any league where he was available, which was surprisingly more than I thought. First of all, I thought Cooper Rush was one of those backup quarterbacks that we would be interested in because the Dallas Cowboys have been passing so much and they don't have a great rushing attack, but that's besides the point. I targeted Cooper Rush a ton because of this rest of season and playoff schedule. If Cooper Rush ends up being the quarterback, he is perfect for a best ball team. Now, in a lineup league, you need to decide whether you're comfortable starting him as your QB2. I would not start Cooper Rush as my quarterback one unless I'm stuck doing it. You get hit with other injuries, whatever. He's my quarterback one, sure. But if I can avoid it, I would consider him being quarterback two. But I don't even know how comfortable I am with that currently. That's a hard decision to make right now before we've seen any games from him. The nice part is you're going to see the next 4 to 5 weeks, and Dallas has a great schedule. If we just take the next 4 weeks into account when Dak Prescott would be on injured reserve, you have the Philadelphia Eagles, Houston Texans, Washington Commanders, and New York Giants. That should give you a good idea of how Cooper Rush is going to do for the remainder of the season. If he ends up being the quarterback for the rest of the year, or at least through the fantasy playoffs for the Dallas Cowboys, his playoff schedule is the Carolina Panthers, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Philadelphia Eagles. That is a perfect matchup for quarterbacks, hence why he's number one. And so I would be targeting Cooper Rush, especially because a lot of those teams that have Cooper Rush are going to sell him for a third. Maybe you need to pay two thirds in like a quarterback heavy league, but that's who you want to target. You want to target these quarterbacks who are so cheap, but they have all this upside, and the upside is there for Cooper Rush. The next best quarterback's schedule is the Tennessee Titans. So once again, this is a team where that quarterback situation is a little murky. Are you able to trust Will Levis to be the starter the rest of the year, or are you expecting Mason Rudolph? This is a team where if you want to go in really cheap and have some upside, they have the second best schedule for quarterbacks in the playoffs. So if you can go ahead and target Will Levis, you might just get lucky. And this is another one of those cases where I am more willing to do this in a best ball league than I am a lineup league, just because I need to actually make that decision in a lineup league, and it's a little harder to do that. The number three team is one I am comfortable making the decision on, and it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have the third best quarterback schedule for the playoffs. Baker Mayfield, I trust. We are also expecting Mike Evans back by that point, so that he will have some targets to throw to. And I think that this is somebody who will kind of slide under the radar. Right now, because the wide receivers are not there for the Buccaneers, this is a team where you can probably get Baker Mayfield a little cheaper than you maybe could have a month ago. And so as a result, you can get him now a little bit cheaper, and then he'll be really, really good for you in playoffs. So that's one of the teams that I am targeting. Tied for third with the next best playoff schedule is the Carolina Panthers. Do we think that Bryce Young is going to be the quarterback? Do we think Andy Dalton is going to be the quarterback? I don't know. But if you are in best ball leagues, both of those guys are nice guys to target. And if you can have those guys on your team, you hopefully will get some decent points out of them in the playoffs. They probably aren't going to be that giving you that ceiling that you might want in a best ball league, but they can be good third quarterbacks to make sure that if one of your quarterbacks does fumble in the playoffs, you know you're getting solid points out of that position. Tied for fifth, I have the Denver Broncos and the New York Giants. Now, the New York Giants is a team where we need to see when their support runs out. Daniel Jones is putting together a solid effort, but is he actually going to hold on to the job through the rest of the year? So Drew Lock is somebody that becomes really intriguing. If Drew Lock ends up becoming the quarterback for this team, he might just have a solid fantasy playoffs simply because of matchup. And then also we see defenses, they tend to take a little bit to adjust to these new quarterbacks that come in. When you combine that with an already weak pass defense, it can become even harder to stop these teams. And then the Denver Broncos. Bo Nix has been doing well. His value has definitely gone up since he was drafted in rookie drafts, but it might be the time to go out and get him. The Broncos, in addition to having the fifth best matchup for quarterbacks, they have the 21st best matchup for running backs. They're going to be attacking the air when it gets to fantasy playoff times, and that's the kind of thing that we want. And if Bo Nix becomes a quarterback who carries a lot of teams to fantasy championships, he's going to be worth a lot come the offseason. Everyone's going to remember that way more than anybody else who had a solid season. So this is something that I might be willing to buy into. If you don't have a lot of Bo Nix, right now might be the time to go out and get some more, so that way you can ride this good matchup and hopefully that increase in value into the offseason. For running backs, The best running back matchup in the playoffs is the New York Jets. The Jets have an amazing schedule. In week 15, they go up against the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are number 2, the Los Angeles Rams, who are number 17, they're about average, and then the Buffalo Bills, who are the number 3 matchup. So if you are looking at the Jets, the obvious answer is Breece Hall. Breece Hall has not done as much this season. Specifically, he has not done as much because he has not gotten as many touchdowns as a lot of the other running backs. But when you get to the playoffs, he might be doing even better than expected, even better than you necessarily were recognizing based on this season. And then if you want to play a little bit of a gambling game and you can get yourself Braylon Allen tossed in a deal sometime in the next couple weeks, well, Braylon Allen could end up being somebody that has an impact. If Breece Hall ends up having to miss one of these weeks or potentially even multiple weeks with an injury, Braylon Allen would take the lion's share of that workload, and he'd have great matchups to run the ball in. So I would look out for both of those guys and see if you can't slide some of them in on some deals. Obviously, you aren't sliding in Breece Hall in on a deal, but if you can slide in Braylon Allen, that would be a good player to target. The second best running back matchup is Tampa Bay. Right now, Tampa Bay, they're having a little bit of a running back problem in terms of which running back do you trust the most. They have three guys there. All three are doing well. And what we're seeing is come playoffs, you might just want to have as many of them as possible. Obviously, Sean Tucker is the odd man out of the group. But if you can have Rashad White and Bucky Irving, both of those guys could be very relevant come playoffs. If you're looking at a team right now, I know I have a team where this week currently I'm starting Rico Dowdle and Rashad White. I'm not happy with that running back room, especially if we're trying to compete with a lot of the other heavy hitters in this league. However, when we get towards playoffs, I have Kenneth Walker, who just happens to be on a bye this week. And so I can start Kenneth Walker and Rashad White, and I know that I'm going to have a really, really strong matchup come the playoffs. And so I can roll out those two guys, and those are my running back spots taken care of. And thanks to my roster construction, where I have wide receivers filling my other flex spots, I know that I don't need to get any other running backs. So even though right now, having Rashad White, I'm a little worried about, oh, does he have that workload that maybe you were expecting to replicate from last year? I know that for this year, that with playoffs and what the playoff schedule looks like, I can rely on Rashad White. And I'm planning to roll him out, assuming he's healthy around that time. The number three best running back matchup is Arizona. Arizona, obviously, you want to have James Conner. But if you've been having Trey Benson sit on your bench for a little while, this might be a situation where if James Conner goes down, he could all of a sudden vault into being extremely relevant. So this is something to watch out for. Obviously, James Conner having a great matchup for the playoffs is a reason to want James Conner, but look out if he ends up getting an injury. James Conner has at least missed one game due to injury every single season of his entire career, and he has yet to miss one this year. So if that holds, then he would miss a game, and it gets more and more likely it becomes a playoff game, in which case Trey Benson could be extremely relevant. And then also keep an eye out for Amari DiMarcado. Trey Benson hasn't been doing much, but Amari DiMarcado has. And maybe it's just because Trey Benson has not taken to the NFL system yet, and Amari DiMarcado could be the one to watch. So just keep an eye out for both of those guys in the event that James Conner goes down with an injury. The fourth best running back matchup is the Las Vegas Raiders. The Las Vegas Raiders, obviously Zamir White and Alexander Mattison, those guys both come extremely cheap. And keep an eye out for them. If you can get them tossed into deals, kind of like I was talking about with Braylon Allen, like they're cheap enough that if you're doing a bigger deal, you might be able to get one of those guys to slide across to you. And you have a great playoff matchup for both of those guys because of that Las Vegas schedule. And then in fifth place, we have the Detroit Lions. Obviously, we know who those two running backs are. But if there's a contender that maybe has that David Montgomery and they are looking on the outside looking in and they're thinking about blowing it up, or you get right to that trade deadline or even right up to playoffs and you're like, hey, you know, you aren't going to make it. You should start selling your assets. Target that David Montgomery owner. That is a player that you're going to want on your team because of that amazing playoff schedule. Obviously, he's more expensive now than he was before the season. Like, he's been doing well. But with this playoff schedule, he's going to be worth it. Now, moving to the wide receivers. The number one wide receiver matchup for the playoffs is Chicago Bears. So, Rome Odunze is a huge target. He's ripe for an explosion in value. And this is somebody that even as a rebuilder, you could try and go and target. Remember what I was saying earlier. Everyone's going to remember the huge playoff performances of players. They are not necessarily going to remember how they were on a full season-long perspective. So Rome Odunze, with the number one best matchup in terms of the defenses he's playing for fantasy purposes, is poised for a breakout. Never mind that rookies also usually do better in the second half of the season. Never mind that you have so many other factors going into how that team is organized. Of you could have DJ Moore or Keenan Allen go down with an injury and then he's stepping up into a larger role. All of those things should hopefully combine to a breakout for Rome Odunze. Obviously, Keenan Allen and DJ Moore are also targets as a result of this, but Rome Odunze is the one I want to call out that he could immediately vault from where he's currently at, which is wide receiver 18 on Keep Trade Cut, to potentially getting into the top 10 as a result of just a couple weeks of playoffs. So definitely go out and get him. Tied for the second best matchups for wide receivers in the playoffs. The first one is Kansas City, and the second one is Miami. Now, Miami, we obviously know Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Those are the guys that you want. So I'm not going to spend too much time talking about them, other than saying, yeah, those guys are worth it. And hopefully Jalen Waddle turns it back around. But Jalen Waddle is somebody who's been losing a lot of value. He has not been doing too much. Hopefully that turns around for playoffs with the awesome matchups that he has. Kansas City is a different question. Kansas City has DeAndre Hopkins, who just had a massive week. If that wide receiver playoff schedule holds, then he could become a huge factor. But don't forget about Xavier Worthy. Xavier Worthy has not done too much, but he is a rookie, and he could be poised for a second half breakout. If he has a great second half to the season, and that is another case, kind of like how I was talking with Rome Odunze, where he ends up pushing himself massively up the rankings. Right now, Xavier Worthy is wide receiver 34. You can get him for less than a first in most cases. Or at least if you are trying to sell him, you are not getting a first. So Xavier Worthy is somebody that you could pick up, and with that awesome playoff schedule, in combination with the fact that he's a rookie on the Chiefs, he could immediately vault back up to where he was being drafted this past offseason. He could jump up 10 spots, 15 spots, go from wide receiver 34 and Keep Trade Cut right back up to wide receiver 2019 in that range. With the fourth best wide receiver matchup is Green Bay. So obviously we have a lot of Green Bay wide receivers there. And so you want to make sure you go and get some pieces of that offense. Obviously that's been a thing for a while. We already know those names. We know that you want to get Jaden Reed. You want to get Dontavian Wicks. You want to get Christian Johnson, Romeo Doubs. There's all those guys there. Especially if you're in a best ball league, I would put it as more than likely that you're going to get some awesome weeks out of those guys. So make sure you go and get as many of them as you can. And then For fifth place, there is a two-way tie, so I will cover both these teams. We have the New York Giants matching that quarterback lineup, and then the Tennessee Titans matching that quarterback lineup. So the Tennessee Titans obviously just traded away DeAndre Hopkins. That opens the door for Calvin Ridley, Tyler Boyd, and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine to have great endings to the season. Keep in mind, the same thing goes with the Will Levis and Mason Rudolph. These aren't guys that are expensive. These are guys that I would not necessarily feel comfortable in my lineup outside of Calvin Ridley. But if you've got some best ball teams, getting Tyler Boyd, getting Nick Westbrook-Ikhine now could end up paying dividends for your teams come playoffs. And then the other team was the New York Giants. Obviously, Malik Nabers, he's had an amazing season, and that could potentially just continue here in the playoffs. But somebody else to look out for is Darius Slayton. Darius Slayton has had a good season, and he's somebody that is flying under the radar for a lot of teams. He hasn't been necessarily blasting a ton of points where everybody's noticing him, but he's been pretty consistent and scoring a good amount of points. He could very solidly be in that wide receiver three range on your team, be in your flexes, and you would love the points that he's putting up. So with this playoff schedule, Darius Slayton is somebody that I want to go out and try and get a little bit more of. Finally, for the tight end matchups. With the number one tight end matchup in playoffs is the Dallas Cowboys. Add in that a lot of backup quarterbacks tend to throw more underneath stuff. They tend to throw stuff more to the middle and they like their big guys. Jake Ferguson is absolutely somebody that I want to target. Everything is there, both from a system perspective and a matchup perspective, where Jake Ferguson could be in for an amazing end to this season. And so that's somebody you want to try and go and get. The number two matchup is the New Orleans Saints. And now this is a tough one, because the New Orleans Saints don't use their tight ends that much. Like, it's this weird thing where some weeks Taysom Hill will be out there, he'll get four receptions, and Foster Moreau will get one reception, and Juwan Johnson won't get a target. And then the next week, none of the three of them will have any targets, but Taysom Hill, because he's Taysom Hill, rushes the ball four times. And then the following week, now Juwan Johnson, he gets four targets with four receptions. Foster Moreau does nothing, and Taysom Hill doesn't get any targets. And it's just this revolving door between them, where they kind of are bouncing back and forth between each other. Sometimes they target the tight ends not at all, sometimes they do a ton, and frankly, I don't know exactly what is going to be stronger. The fact that the New Orleans Saints don't target the tight ends, or the fact that the New Orleans Saints have the second best tight end matchup. This is another case of, in best ball, I'm more than fine going in on these guys. Am I going to try and rely on Foster Moreau or Juwan Johnson in my lineup when it comes to playoffs? I don't know about that. Taysom Hill, maybe I'm a little bit more willing to do that just because I know he's going to have some plays designed specifically for him. And so when you talk about, especially in your standard PPR tight end leagues, like how impactful touchdowns are, Taysom Hill is way more likely than any other tight end eligible player in order to get a touchdown because he has that role on their team. The third best tight end matchup is Minnesota. TJ Hockenson just came back from injury this past week, and he could be primed to have an awesome ending to this season. Obviously, you still have a little bit of that ACL kind of bringing him back up to speed, but this past week, he didn't seem to need that time in order to become a top tight end. He already came back and had three receptions for 27 yards while only playing 45% of the snaps. That is going to continue to go up as the season progresses, and I would highly expect that TJ Hockenson becomes somebody that by the time playoffs are in full swing, that you're going to see him being on the field for a full normal snap share. This is kind of more of a warning for those teams that have held on to TJ Hockenson because they were rebuilding. Don't sell your TJ Hockenson too cheap. He could very well be in for a huge value spike as a result of playoffs. Whereas if you sell him right now, or even as a result of the next couple weeks, because he does have some rough matchups weeks 11 through 14, if you sell him right after those when he's not looking as great, but that team's looking to try and push in and upgrade that tight end position a little bit, maybe they didn't have anybody and they're going for TJ Hockenson, try not to sell too low. But that could also be an opportunity for that team who you need a tight end upgrade, or you're looking to, maybe you have a high tight end scoring and you're looking for a flex guy. Well, week 11, 12, and 13 are rough for the Vikings from a tight end's perspective. And if TJ Hockenson doesn't do as well, you might be able to go in and get him and take advantage of the Atlanta matchup in week 14, and then weeks 15, 16, 17 having that top tight end playoff matchup. The fourth best tight end matchup is the Tennessee Titans, once again. However, finding the right tight end in the Tennessee system is going to be hard. Whether you're looking at Josh Wiley, whether you're looking at Chigakonkwo, they don't really utilize their tight ends from the passing game too much. And so I would say this is one of those situations where I'm fine getting those guys in best ball. I'm fine targeting them a little bit in best ball, but I'm not going to rely on these guys in lineup leagues unless you're playing like two tight ends and there's a ton of guys already owned and whatnot. Then finally, in tied for fifth place, is Cleveland and Denver. So Cleveland, David Njoku is the obvious target. He's the obvious one that you want, and he is the top target there in Cleveland. Like, everything is primed for a huge David Njoku playoff, so maybe go and try and get him now before people realize that that's what you're trying to get him for. Denver, it's a little bit harder. They've had this like weird revolving door with tight ends where they've got three of them. They've got, they all play somewhat equalish snap shares. Who the targets go to get mixed around every single week. One week it's Lucas Kroll, the next week it's Nate Adkins. You just don't know what to do out of that Denver room. So this is another situation of, I'm going to target these guys in best ball. I'm not going to target these guys for lineup, except for in pure desperation plays. That is it for the playoff coverage. And now I'm going to go into the two things that I've been keeping track of at the end of every episode. First, number of players rostered on a team. That number's still staying pretty constant. In fact, compared to last week, it's the same number. 59 quarterbacks, 98 running backs, 138 wide receivers, and 52 tight ends. Despite the Cooper Rush pickups happening this weekend, it looks like that all of the Cooper Rush pickups are coming at the expense of dropping a different quarterback. And so people are sticking with mostly the same roster construction. That also might have to do with some of the buys that are coming this week, preventing people from necessarily dropping running backs and wide receivers in order to pick up those quarterbacks. In the tight ends don't matter segment, last week I picked Adam Trautman, and I at least did get the snap share part right. He did have the highest snaps on the Denver Broncos. Unfortunately, he only got one reception for 4 yards, so that didn't go quite as well. However, this week, I have a couple of really good choices. Drew Sample and Tanner Hudson are both going to have larger roles thanks to Eric All's ACL injury. We also have the choice of Davis Allen and Andrew Ogletree. However, both of those guys are still more in that backup emergency kind of role, so I'm going to choose one of Drew Sample and Tanner Hudson. Thinking back to last year, I'm going to lean towards Tanner Hudson. However, if I were to look at last week, I would potentially want to get Drew Sample. I'm going to end up going with Tanner Hudson. The reason that I don't want to go with Drew Sample is because I think last week might have been one of those cases where a guy gets injured and his immediate backup comes in and takes his spot. Whereas Tanner Hudson, he had a certain spot in the game plan, And when we get to this next week, we're going to see the plan for the coming week. Basically, I think the upside is there for Tanner Hudson. I've seen him do it in the past, and Drew Sample has always been more of a blocking tight end. So Tanner Hudson is the pick for this week. When you're hearing this, it's post the Ravens game. You'll know whether Tanner Hudson was a good pick or not. And just know that right now, I don't know how good he is and whether this was in fact the correct pick or not. Now, of course, I know this also means that for anybody that is trying to follow along with this, you've already seen what Tanner Hudson does. And so, as a result, you need to end up with going with one of the other guys. And I think that the right move to do there is to just go back to Adam Trautman from last week. He still had a good snap share. I liked that better than what Davis Allen and Andrew Ogletree did. And so I would stick with Adam Trautman once again. So that's what we're going to do for this week. Is I'm going to, for the purposes of keeping track of this strategy, I'm going to go with Tanner Hudson. But then if you need somebody else, go with Adam Trautman. That's my recommendation for the week. That's all I have for you for this week. If you have not, go check out Manscaped. If you use the code SHFF20 at checkout, you get 20% off and it helps to support South Harmon. So if you go to Manscaped, go check out some of the stuff they have on there. Use the code SHFF20 to get 20% off. That's everything that I have for this week. Make sure to contact me on X at Dynasty Koopa or Discord at KoopaTroopa8. If you have any questions, I've been answering some in the South Harmon Discord, which you can find at patreon.com/South Harmon. As always, make sure to stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.